Okay, and the Song of Solomon here says this. In fact, the same thing that we're doing today. He says, for the testimony is in the law of the eternal covenant. The testimony of the Lord is on the ways of men and the visitation, which has to do with God's involvement. His involvement directly affects the stewardship which he has selected forth in order to oversee these things. So the testimony is in the law of the eternal covenant. Okay, the same thing that we're observing today, that eternal covenant. And we bear his testimony. Let's look at another one here. Psalm of Solomon, chapter 10. He says, happy is the man whom the Lord remembers with reproving, and whom he restrains from the way of evil with strokes, that he may be cleansed from sin, that it may not be multiplied. He that makes ready his back for strokes shall be cleansed, for the Lord is good to them that endure chastening. Yeah, that's a good one. Here's another one here. This is not the Proverbs of Solomon, but this is the Song of Solomon. Okay, for terrible is the overthrow of the sinner, but not one of all these things touches the righteous. For not alike are the chastening of the righteous for the sins done in ignorance, and the overthrow of the sinners. Secretly is the righteous chastised, lest the sinner rejoice over the righteous. For God here, for he corrects the righteous as a beloved son, and his chastisement is as that of a firstborn. For the Lord spares his pious ones, and blots out their errors by his chastening. Okay, that's a good one there. And let's read another one here. Got time. Okay, Psalm of Solomon 15. The fruit of the lips he talks about. For the fruit of lips with a well-tuned instrument of the tongue. See, the first fruits of the lips from a pious and righteous heart. He that offers these things shall never be shaken by evil. For the mark of God is upon the righteous, that they may be saved. I like that one. The mark of God is upon the righteous, that they may be saved. Of course, we have his mark upon our hearts today, okay, by the token of truth. Okay, for the mark of destruction is upon the sinner's forehead. Of course, that has to do with war, famine, and pestilence. The mark of destruction is upon the foreheads, okay, the sinner's forehead. All right, but of course, God put his mark upon us, as we also see in the book of Revelation. Okay, whereas we see the mark of the beast is upon the forehead of the sinner and their mark for destruction. God puts also his seal or the mark upon the forehead of the 144,000, okay, which shall escape the judgments of his wrath. So wherever one of the saints are at, that is during the time of the tribulation, okay, there the individuals would be saved from God's wrath. Those that be joined to the Jew, okay, the Jew, those which God has selected of the 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe. All right, here's another one. Song of Solomon, verse 16. He says here that poverty is not chastisement, okay, but of course can add to it. Okay, for if you give not strength, who can endure chastisement with poverty? When a man is rebuked by means of his corruption, your testing of him is in the flesh and in the affliction of poverty. If the righteous endure all these trials, he shall receive mercy from the Lord. And that's a good one. And here's one, the Odes of Solomon. Hey, of course, we'll be talking more about this today. Hey, the Odes of Solomon, Odes of Solomon chapter 3, 10 and 11. For he that is joined to him, that is the Lord, for he that is joined to him that is immortal will also himself become immortal. And he who has pleasure in the living one will become living. Okay, and this is the Odes of Solomon, chapter 3, 10 through 11. And we see how the bonding takes place through the Spirit. Okay, we have time for one more here. Odes of Solomon 6, 5. You want to make a note on these things, notation. The Lord has multiplied the knowledge of himself and is zealous that these things should be known, okay, which by his grace have been given to us. Okay, that's the Odes of Solomon there. The Lord has multiplied the knowledge of himself. Okay, we'll be talking more about that in Ephesians here. Okay, and is zealous that these things should be known, which by his grace have been given to us. Amen. Okay. So those who are just joining us, we're now beginning in Ephesians. We're picking up where we left off last week. Okay, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 5, actually verse 22 is where we'll start, but let's go back for a moment as concerning proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Okay, and that has to do with what Paul brings out in chapter 5, verse 1. Be you followers of God as dear children. Being followers of God as dear children, we're walking in as children of light. Okay, and of course he brings that out in verse 8. Okay, as in regarding the contrast, he says, you were sometimes darkness, which means our perception was molded by the world. Satan molded our perception by carnal things. But God molds our perception with spiritual things. So we're walking as children of light. Okay, those which have been illuminated. Okay, illuminated and enlightened by his grace. Okay, this is the fruit of all his goodness. Okay, goodness has to do with these things which bear his consistency. Okay, the consistency. We see the variables in the works of iniquity. Okay, which we talked about concerning all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. The aggressiveness of darkness is the evidence of ignorance. Okay, those which are ignorant of righteousness become aggressive with their own principle. And we see these things here as concerning evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Okay, and of course he's talking to the saints here regarding the work of regeneration and bringing to their attention this contrast between this which is good to the work of regeneration and that which is bad. Having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The unfruitful works, which also is called ungodliness. Unfruitful. Ungodliness. That is, we are those which bear forth fruit, and so therefore God puts the mark of godliness upon us. Okay, but those which don't bear forth fruit, God puts the mark of ungodliness upon them, meaning the absence of. Their soul bears no lightness of God, because the lightness of God is in the powers which he's provided for us, the gifts. Okay, the gifts of his mercy are these powers which he's provided for us, okay, which we also set upon the soul, because these powers are the crown of the soul. Okay, purifying the conscience by faith in Jesus Christ. So those which don't bear the powers, you can't serve God, but we bear the powers, so we can serve him in righteousness and in truth. And then we come up here, we're going to be picking up here in verse 22. Okay, so we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, okay, through the tokens which God has provided for us in his propitiation, okay, which Chief Elder John brings out, okay, as concerning the works of his atonement. The works of his atonement, okay, is found in the tokens of his propitiation, because we are as vessels of mercy. As vessels of mercy, he pours within us the sweetness of his vine. But the vessels, okay, of wickedness, they bear those things which are the dregs of the cup, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation, okay, which has to do with all bitterness. So we see the bitterness of the law, but the sweetness of his grace. Okay, so the mother of harlots bears the bitterness of the law, okay, which is blasphemy against God, because it's usurping the divine work, okay, through her whoredoms, or as a whoremonger. Okay, whoremonger are those which war with false knowledge. Okay, that means they're laboring with false knowledge. Okay, so the whoremongers are those which are born of the mother of harlots. Okay, so we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, so he's teaching us his wisdom. Okay, he's teaching us his wisdom. This is your wisdom, he says. For this is your wisdom that teaches to teach you his fear, as Paul brings us out. Okay, so we're submitting ourselves one to another in fear of God, like flowers in a garden. Okay, flowers in a garden, okay, are, okay, at the mercy, okay, of the gardener. They submit themselves to the skills of the gardener. Okay, the person that's grooming the garden. But the wild, okay, are not submitting themselves, okay, to the grooming, okay, of the husbandman. But rather they overgrow and they choke out the others. Okay, so the flowers of the field will choke out each other. Okay, where it was growing in the wild, it will choke each other out. And then after the process of these choking is taking place, the forest floor is littered with fallen trees because they choke each other out. They fight for the light. But the flowers of the garden, they're not fighting for the light because the gardener, okay, is providing the necessity, okay, for their grooming, okay, with the water, okay, and sunshine, okay, and also nourishment. So we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God by the labor of his hands. So now we'll go to verse 22 here. Why submit yourselves your own husbands as unto the Lord? Okay, we're going to see a mystery unfold here and regarding the gender, okay, and why God put the separation in the gender, okay, which he didn't have to do, okay, but did it in order to teach us this parable of the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, and also our journey from the bosom of the Father to return to the bosom of the Father. Okay, so why submit yourselves your own husbands as to the Lord? Okay, so Paul's bringing to the attention of the saints there at Ephesus, okay, regarding this mystery. So he's saying here, see this in this parable. So Adam put the gold in Eve's bosom. What he's saying, Adam put the gold in Eve's bosom, which we read in the books of Adam and Eve. Okay, and this was as a dowry of purchasing. Okay, so Eve was given to Adam. She was removed from Adam and then brought back to Adam. Removed in part, returned in whole. Okay, so you see the parable there. Removed in part, returned in whole. Okay, as we came out from the Father's bosom, in part, we should return to him in full. Because we're returning him in full from this point, okay, of engagement, the dowry of purchase. Okay, the dowry of purchase, okay, is in the mark, okay, of our adoption. Okay, in the mark of our adoption, we see the mark of adoption in the seal of the Spirit. So God put the mark of our adoption within the Spirit, and then through the entrance into the covenant, okay, we bear these tokens and powers of servitude to return back to our Father in whole, even if this is what Jesus taught us. Okay, upon the cross, he was in part. Upon his resurrection, he was in whole. Okay, upon the cross, he was in part. Upon the resurrection, he was in whole. So in part, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, and regarding that which is in part, okay, bearing the image of the flesh, but yet upon his resurrection, he returned to the Father in whole. So we see here, why submit yourselves and your own husbands as to the Lord. We see the stewardship and the priesthood. The stewardship and the priesthood was assigned to Adam in the Garden of Paradise. Okay, and Eve, okay, was there for the purpose of his propagation, that children of light would proceed from them. And the children of light are proceeding by the work of the Spirit. Okay, by the work of the Spirit, we are children of this adoption, being children of the light. Okay, but during the millennial reign, we also see the same thing. Okay, we saw also symbolisms or parables and symbolisms put within the birth of Noah, as well as the birth also in Moses and in the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, how they bore a demdema, okay, and proclamation. Okay, Noah, and when he was born, okay, was received, okay, within this dimension in the orb of light. Okay, and also he had perfect intelligence and in his proclamation and praised the Lord. Okay, as also Melchizedek. Melchizedek, being born, okay, went from an infant to a child of 3 years of age. Okay, upon his birth. Okay, but he also bore the mark, okay, of the priesthood upon him, which shows the increase would be by the anointing. And Noah and his brother Ner observed the symbolism of the priesthood, which was revealed to them. Okay, that the priesthood would indeed be carried forth through this person, okay, who has been born of God. God took ownership of Melchizedek and called Melchizedek his son. Okay, it wasn't a son of Ner, okay, it was a son of God, okay, it was which was to bear the image, okay, of that which is to be born yet 4,000 years later, okay, called the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so we see here, back in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves your own husbands as to the Lord. Now we see the word submit there And the word submit has a taste of bitterness, but the bitterness is under the law. But the word submit has also the taste of sweetness under the anointing. Okay, so you highlight the word submit there and put the word bitter for law, sweet for grace. So we see that the bonding by the anointing is sweetness. And as we read on, we're going to see also the expression of this, and its offspring is sweetness. So why submit yourselves to your own husband? Now put sweetness on that, because we're talking about priesthood and stewardship. Okay, those that labor the stewardship are the children of sweetness, being the children of light, being the children of the day, being the first ripe. Okay, the first ripe grape of the vine. That's the priesthood of Christ. Okay, now that which is of Moses, okay, was the bitter herbs, okay, which is of the law. Okay, and the law makes the distinctions of servitude. Okay, the distinctions of this servitude of the law is a bondage, okay, which was Hagar. Okay, Hagar wasn't reciprocating in grace. She is reciprocating in bitterness. Okay, because that which is born of the flesh is bitter, but that which is born of the spirit is sweet. So why submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord? Okay, so we see here, and Christ also puts value in his church, which is fruit, that which he purchased. Now we're going to see also a contrast of the masculine and the feminine, and the witness and the record, if I may make a note on that. Put the letter W slash, and then the letter R underneath that. So you see the witness is over the record, as charity is over truth. Okay, how truth springs out of the earth. Okay, and the sweetness of that anointing gives it power, that which is from above. And that's what we worship him. We worship our Father in spirit and in truth, okay, which has to do with the sweetness of this record. Okay, the record is sweetened by the anointing. Okay, the knowledge which we have received from our Father is sweetened by that anointing. Okay, but the law does not bear that sweetness. The law itself is bitter and judgmental. The division is by the principle and not by the grace. We can see this when the woman taken in adultery was brought to Jesus. We see a contrast of mercy and sweetness by the anointing through Jesus, but we see the very opposite of that, okay, through the scribes, okay, and the lawyers there that brought the woman in, taken adultery. Okay, you see the word, she was cast at his feet in the form of violence, aggression, and bitterness. Bitterness of accusations is under the finger of the law. The finger of accusation is within the law, but the hand of mercy is under grace. And we can see this, okay, when the Lord himself laid his hands upon the head of the Apostle John there in the book of Revelation. Laying his hand upon his head, he bestowed him with the powers, the angels, the stars, okay, of the seven churches of Asia, the responsibility of his stewardship and oversight. Okay, so we see the word husband and we see the word wife. So with the word husband, you put the word stewardship. With the wife, you see the word priesthood. Then we can understand here, okay, why the Lord initiated this symbolism in the very beginning, the stewardship and the priesthood. They labor and work together. So the husband is the head of the wife, which is the stewardship, okay, for the purpose of oversight and direction, not for the purpose of oppression and tyranny. Okay, the tyranny is under the law. Okay, oppression and tyranny is under law. Okay, but of course, under the mercy of his grace, okay, we can see that the servitude is greatly rewarded, even as the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne. Okay, the powers which they have received was now being returned in full cycle, okay, upon that proclamation. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Okay, the pleasure is in the crown. The crown is that power. The power is that an anointing, okay, which proceeds from the Almighty God, the throne. So the husband is the head of the wife, okay, the oversight of stewardship, even as Christ is the head of the church, the oversight and the stewardship, because he's the throne of conscience, the throne of conscience. So if Jesus is a throne of conscience for the righteous, then we meet the criteria there, which says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Why, the Lord himself is a throne, and conscience of the righteous. Okay, so here Christ is the head of the church. Okay, so which means the conscience of the glory of our perspective, the conscience and glory of our perspective, so that we possess the mind of Christ. And this is what Paul brings out, but you have the mind of Christ. Okay, he's molding your perspective to the tokens of your priesthood, the offerings of your charity. The offerings of your charity bend your perspective to see from his perspective. We have the mind of Christ. Okay, but those which are born of iniquity, the Lord says to them, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So how would his thoughts be our thoughts, and his ways be our ways? Well, by the anointing. Okay, by the anointing we be joined to God. Okay, even as a man is joined to his wife. Okay, by that same power, a man is joined to his wife. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is what? The Savior of the body. Jesus is the fruit that is sweet in the assembly. He's the Savior of the body. Okay, the fragrance, he's the fragrance by which we speak. Okay, as we bond by his authority and we bond by his name, these things preserve us. Okay, we are preserved in his name. We are preserved in his kingdom. We are preserved by this power. Okay, the anointing which is engrafted within us, okay, is a token of our adoption and comforter, okay, which will never depart from us and be with us forever. Okay, now and in a baptism of light, ever assisting us. Okay, is ever assisting us as the wisdom of God. The wisdom, okay, as we read about in the book of Proverbs, identifies his perspective and creativity, see, of the Father, as he brings out in his narrative, as he came out from God, I wisdom. Okay, I wisdom. He identifies himself, okay, in this form of servitude. And the comforter, okay, which is the Holy Ghost, okay, is the wisdom, okay, which will continually direct us in our perspectives, in the baptism of light, for the propagation, promotion, the increase and enlargement of the soul of our Father, okay, throughout all ages. And amen. That is the determined factor, okay, of our Father before the plan was even initiated. Therefore, verse 24, as a church is subject to Christ. See the word subject there? So you're going to draw a line from the word subject to the word submit there in verse 22. Okay, which is a form of yielding. Okay, yielding. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, the humbling has to do with the yielding. The yielding has to do with the resourcing of this grace. Okay, we're drawing from that anointing. Okay, as Chief Elder John brings up, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Why? Because this is being inscribed within your heart through the cycles of your growth. It cannot be taught by the eyes of flesh, being oversight, okay, by the eyes of fire, okay, which are also will be bringing about in Revelation. Okay, in Revelation chapter 2 there, okay, concerning the eyes of fire. In chapter 19, whose eyes are as fire, flames of fire. Because by the flames of fire, the anointing itself is as flames of fire, okay, which is giving light to the soul. So his eyes are like a soul scanner. Okay, a soul scanner, like you would see at a checkout counter, okay, which scans the barcode. Okay, where the eyes of the Lord, okay, is as that scanner, and our soul is as the item with the barcode on it, which also depicts the price of the labor. Okay, so therefore, as a church is subject to Christ, yielding to this anointing, we witness Jesus' baptism here. Okay, we're seeing this mystery. So the word therefore, he says, understanding this mystery, because this is what he brings out right here, is concerning this is a great mystery, is in verse 32. This is a great mystery. It's something that's concealed. It's something that's concealed. It was concealed in the Father's heart, put in the prototype of the Holy City, which you see in the illustration there. Okay, the Holy City is the mother of us all. A prototype of this engagement, okay, of separation, okay, and being joined back together again. Okay, separated and joined. So a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife. Okay, so we see propagation, separation, an increase, okay, which rhythm and pattern would be carried out in the baptism of light. This is what the Apostle Paul was speaking of, okay, as we partake of the powers of the world to come, okay, as we be partakers of the powers of the world to come. Okay, the prototype, the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is above, okay, is free from the law. Okay, so that which is above, being free from the law, there's no condemnation. Okay, there can't be any condemnation where there is no law. Okay, if there's no sign that says no trespassing, then walking on that beach is no violation, okay, of anyone's property. But if there's a sign out front that says no trespassing, okay, then there's an awareness of violation. But if there's no sign, then there's no violation. If there's no law, then there's no guilt. The only law we labor with is that law of grace, okay, which identifies, okay, the boundaries and restrictions of this divine work. Okay, well, what are these divine restrictions and boundaries? Okay, well, divine restrictions and boundaries is laid out for us, okay, in the pattern of his truth, grace and truth. Okay, as this is what Paul brings out. Okay, grace, mercy, peace. Okay, be unto you from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Identifying the origin, its source, the increase, and also the return. Okay, the returning in his fullness. We will return to him in fullness, not in part, but in fullness. Now we know in part, but we return to him in fullness. We prophesy in part, but then we return to him in fullness. That which was provided for us, okay, is what we dine on now, as much as we will dine on the same thing the next day and further on. So therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, okay, as we're laboring with this anointing, we witness Jesus' baptism and cleansing. So let the wives be subject be to their own husbands, to bear forth fruit there for the increase of his house and kingdom, to increase and to expand. So he says here, as the church is subject to Christ, subject has to do with the mating and the bonding. The mating and the bonding for the increase. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ for the mating, the bonding, and the increase, and the expanding of his house, so that the wives also be their own husbands, the increase, the mating, the bonding, the increase of his kingdom, okay, which bears his name. The kingdom, the process, is his name. Okay, let's go on to verse 25 here. So we can see that the reciprocation to bond, okay, we see this reciprocation to bond here, okay, if we don't participate, okay, by this yielding, that means humbling ourselves to the grace of God, okay, then he'll also give us a writing of divorcement, okay, which means a return, okay, a returning of the token, okay, it's a returning of the token, not the returning to its owner, okay, it's just a returning of the token. Okay, showing a separation exists there. Okay, and that's what the law does. Okay, those which return to the law, okay, are given that writing of divorcement because everything from that point on is process, okay, is not engaged any longer with the kingdom or with his house. Okay, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. You see it again, here, the Apostle Paul is bringing out this connection and this mystery to us. So husbands love your wives, or the stewards bond with this knowledge, by this knowledge to multiply the likeness. Love your wives, bond by this knowledge. This is to multiply his likeness in this parable we see here. The parable of the wedding. Okay, the parable of the wedding of your wife is the blessed and the benefit. The wedding here has to do with it's a process of bonding. The whole process of bonding is put into this particular tradition, okay, which we can see is played out in most of the cultures of this world. Okay, the bonding of the wedding is being played out as a parable, as a conscience. Okay, God put that within the conscience. Okay, the conscience, okay, bears the seed of that parable, which he sealed in the conscience before we entered into this dimension. Before you enter into this dimension of the flesh, into this dimension of darkness, into this dimension of waters, your soul, okay, was yet contained, okay, and restrained within a dimension of light, in dimension of the Father's bosom. Okay, before it's like the seed bag. Yes, they say the dimension of the Father's bosom was a seed bag. Okay, and the seed was removed from the bag, and sprinkled into this dimension and put within the soil of the body. The soul was put in the body. Or the seed bore a pattern, okay, or you can say the genetics or the chromosomes, okay, of its volume, of its word, okay, of its parent. And so being put within the body, okay, there's an influence, okay, from that seed in the conscience, which continually rings, okay, within the soul. Okay, and Adamites, because they feel that, they feel its presence, okay, within them, okay, also have a feeling of a divine portion. Okay, they have a feeling of divine portion, that divine portion, which they feel, okay, gives them also a feeling of, okay, control, dominance, okay, probabilities, okay, to rule, or to exploit, okay, or to go beyond these things. Okay, and that's what Satan did, see? Satan exploited that seed, which was sealed in the conscience of the Adamites. He exploited that to where sinners act independently of its tethering and independently of its source, and it draws upon the criminal aspect of that adoption, which is Satan's kingdom. So here, let's go back to verse 25. Husbands, as stewards now, love your wives, which is the priesthood. Okay, we're bonding by knowledge to multiply this likeness. Okay, and we see this in the parable of the wedding. Okay, for the purpose of to benefit. Your priesthood benefits the whole body. Okay, so husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Okay, he wedded her. Okay, he wedded her here as the benefit. He benefited by the power of his own record. Okay, by the power of his own record for the adoption, okay, of his seed, okay, his offspring. Okay, and he gave himself for it. See the word gave there as a gift for cleansing and purging. He gave himself for it upon the cross. Okay, and also sealed it by the resurrection. So he gave himself for it so that he might sanctify. I like the word sanctify there. Hey, that's the point of separation, isn't it? Sanctification is where God separates us from the world to himself, as holiness means that we separate ourselves from the world unto God. Okay, so we see a form of cooperation here. We see a form of cooperation, of separation. Okay, and unity, separation and unity. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Okay, that's removing the curse of the law in the flesh and set it apart with his power. That is at this present time, what he's doing in us now. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Okay, so he's doing this now with a new priesthood. And through this new priesthood, which governs our soul. He's governing our soul, and by these tokens of his propitiation. Okay, why we say tokens of his propitiation? Because substitutionism claims the finished work before the process begins. Okay, as one would pluck an apple in the spring before the bud will appear. It's out of season. The tree for the apple is correct. Okay, by association. Okay, and by word language. Okay, by word language, the ungodly believer, okay, seems to be speaking truth. The ungodly believer. Okay, the ungodly believer, they're believers, but they're fruitless in regarding the kingdom of God. That is, so the tree for the apple is correct, but the process isn't, leaving the hands empty of its power. It's not due process. So the righteous labor for the reward in due season, which we're enduring now. Okay, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We continue to press forward, laboring in prayer, okay, laboring in your charity, okay, working with all the threefold cord. By this threefold cord, we are tethered and bound to the altar of Christ, the place of sacrifice. Okay, the place of sacrifice, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. The language which also the false religious system uses, okay, but denies its power, okay, because it's untethered from the true altar. So the righteous labor for the reward in due season and partake of the power for its blessing, which we do today. So the priesthood of the church, as the wife, reciprocates the increase, expanding the house. So he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. See the word washing of water by the word. Okay, the cleansing of this knowledge. Okay, the cleansing of this knowledge. But substitutionism here, claims as finished the work to be finished, and it paralyzes your faith. Okay, if it paralyzes your faith, then you have to feign your faith. Okay, substitutionism paralyzes your faith, but propitiation gives it life because you're laboring with the anointing. Okay, so substitutionism claims it's a finished work and paralyzes your faith. Okay, but God gave this baptism of knowledge to multiply his likeness in us by his propitiation. So you can see the similarities, the counterfeit Jesus and the true Jesus. Okay, the original, the counterfeit gospel and the true gospel. Counterfeit grace and true grace. Okay, counterfeit faith and true faith. The contrast is put within the premises of the scale. Okay, that which is substitution on one hand, propitiation on the other. And through his propitiation, we have forgiveness of sins. That means we have healing of the soul. Okay, because we have returned unto the chief shepherd of our soul. The chief shepherd of our soul, okay, is overseeing, okay, the places of our grazing, okay, and places of watering. And why does he do this? To present it. Okay, so in verse 27, that he might present it to himself. Now see the word he might? That's propitiation. It doesn't say he already had. That would be substitutionism. Okay, even though the Lord has provided a pattern himself, okay, in his record, that is completed. But the process of it is ongoing. That's propitiation. Okay, this is propitiation in his atonement, that his reflection now may be seen in it. Okay, this due process, that he might present it to himself. What is he presenting to himself? The church. How could this be possible? Because of sanctified and being washed. You can see by the knowledge of this kingdom. Okay, washed by the knowledge of his kingdom. This is our spiritual baptism. Okay, water baptism was that which is under the law. Okay, which was temporary. Okay, it was temporary. That means it was here and it was gone. It was transient. Okay, it went through its due process to be repeated again. Transient, earthly. Okay, and death was present. But that which is of his propitiation, which is from above, okay, is an ever-burning flame. That's the anointing. The everlasting flame, the eternal flame, okay, as the Olympics calls it, the eternal flame, they try to keep the flame going until the next Olympic game. Okay, well, we have the eternal flame engrafted within us upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit by which we run the race. And yet, that's what the Apostle Paul brings out. We run the race, but not as that which is of the flesh, but that which is the Spirit. Okay, so it was just a washing, we're being cleansed by the washing of the knowledge, the washing of the water by the Word, the holy knowledge. So through this washing now, he's presenting himself with us. Okay, so we come in part. We in this dimension, we're in part, but joined to him, we are in whole. Okay, we come back to him in wholesomeness. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. I like the word glorious there because we're talking about the joy of his presence. Glorious church, which has the joy of his presence, okay, without any offense. The offense would be within the aspiration, the aspiration, the imagination, the principle. The things which were crucified to. Okay, were crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified within the flesh. The flesh had to do with that which is, okay, under the powers of this world. The flesh is under the powers of this world, restricted to this dimension. Okay, by which, by his resurrection, he was no longer restricted to this dimension, okay, even as Jesus walked on the water. Okay, the laws of nature, okay, were bridged by the anointing which was in Christ. They were bridged in the anointing in Christ, even as the Red Sea was opened by the anointing which is upon the steward. Okay, the anointing which is upon the stewardship of Moses, okay, the anointing was which was upon him spoke in the voice of God. So we can see that the voice of the Lord is in the stewardship as the anointing lies upon him. Okay, as the anointing lies upon all the brethren, the voice of God is heard within their charity. So you're being washed by the water of his word. Okay, so he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. Okay, I like the word these words right here, spot and wrinkle or blemish. Okay, as a sacrifice was brought to the porter would examine the sacrifice, whether it be a lamb or a goat, or an ox. Okay, it had to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Now, these things identify the works of death. Spot, wrinkle, and blemish identify the works of death, which is the works of the law. Okay, for that he might present it to himself a glorious church, which would be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Glorious, which means it's matching his joy, the joy of his pleasure, without offense. A purebred, pure breed, not mixed with any aspiration of the flesh. Okay, the aspiration of the flesh is the old man. Well, the old man is that which bears the spot, the wrinkle, and the blemish. Okay, the baby doesn't, the infant doesn't bear the spot, the wrinkle, and the blemish. Okay, as that which is aged bears the spot, the wrinkle, and the blemish. Okay, so he presented to a glorious church, okay, which is eternal. Eternal. That means you're returning to the age, to the age of innocence. Okay, and you can see that when we receive our new bodies. Okay, the body which we're presently in, okay, is spared. Okay, but we receive a new body, okay, which is the eternal body. As Jesus received a new body, Jesus, upon his resurrection, was able to transform from the crucified body, which didn't have any kind of spot, wrinkle, or blemish in it. He wasn't identified by Cleopas and Simon, or Simeon. They didn't identify him, okay, as that person that was crucified. Okay, they looked at him, okay, but they looked at him as Jesus bore the image, okay, of the other body, okay, the glorified body. He wasn't shining brightly, okay, as we also will be able to do. Okay, we can bear different forms, okay, because we will have the powers to do that, to bear different forms. Okay, whether it be that the form of the flesh or the form of the glorified body. Okay, or that form of light. Imagine that, bearing that which is the form of pure light. Okay, and of course that would be the form of pure light within the Father's bosom. Okay, so they might present it to himself a glorious church without spot. There's no offense, but pure, not mixed with any aspiration, okay, of the flesh, the old man, okay, which is wrinkle, which is the age of death and time, okay, or any such thing, nor any such thing as being a thorn or a briar in the garden of weeds. Okay, or weeds in a garden, but as we are as those which are like a selected lily, okay, to be put in your garden, but as a selected lily, okay, or we set within a heap of wheat, as we see also in the Song of Solomon, okay, as a lily set about with heaps of wheat. So we see it bears perfect eye equity, the equity of faith, the eye equity of faith, which is as a beautiful plant, okay, in a flower garden. And which releases that fragrance. We release the fragrance of this charity. The fragrance which we release, okay, identifies our innocence. As a flower releases its fragrance there, it identifies its fragrance. Now, when the sinner releases, we say their fragrance, which is not a fragrance, it's a foul odor. Okay, it's the foul odor of death. The knowledge of this world is a foul odor of death. So anyway, he's going to present it to himself here without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But that it should be holy and without blemish here, he says here. Being as selected. We are selected holy. Okay, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. Okay, as a flower, knowing limitations and showing care. As a flower, knowing limitations and showing care. So ought men to love their wives. This is how you identify with the gender. You identify with the gender, okay, according to that limitation and care. Now, this is what Christ did with us. He came into the form of flesh to identify with his own creation. Jesus came into the flesh. God came in the form of flesh, as Paul brings out. Okay, identified, okay, with his own creation. Okay, for the purpose of a form of communication. Okay, for the purpose of that form of communication. So here, so ought men to love their wives. Okay, there is embracing your experience as your own. Jesus embraced our experience as his own, okay, but without sin. He embraced our experience as his own, but without sin. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. See that? He says it right there. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. The point of identification, okay, for this bonding. So he that loves his wife loves himself. It comes full circle, okay, even as Christ here. Okay, so is embracing her experience as her own as Christ came in the flesh, and he impregnates our labor with power and bonds to us as one in the same manner. He bonds to us in one, as one in the same manner. He gives us this gift. Okay, let's go on here. We got a little more time before you offer your sacrifices, but you can start getting them ready. For no man ever yet hates his own flesh. Okay, another way to put this, to simplify it, no person would deny the stomach its food, but selects flavors for the tongue to feed it. Okay, so no man ever yet hates his own flesh. I just put it another way for you. No person would deny the stomach its food, but selects flavors for the tongue. Okay, same thing with the pizza. When you're hungry, your tongue says pizza. So the stomach says, yes, pizza sounds good, because when you eat the pizza, it's going to fill the stomach. Okay, or put it for a hamburger. Okay, or a steak. Okay, or for a hot dog. Whatever it is that's be selected at the time. Something that the tongue selects for the stomach, even as Christ selects that which is for our appetite. He is the tongue for the soul. Okay, he selects that which would be tasteful to fill the chambers of the heart. So for no man yet or forever yet hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And then he goes on the example again, even as the Lord the church. And you can see how he continually repeats himself, even as the Lord, the church. So we can see an inner and an outer adorning. Okay, so to say this here is to groom and to wash the outer body, so improving the overall effectiveness, both the inner and the outer man. Okay, so the Lord, the church, grooming its appetite and fashion through the stewardship and the priesthood. So just like God gave Adam Eve, Eve is the power and crown given to Adam. That power and crown given back to Adam. Okay, because she has twice the powers for the purpose of propagation and increase. Okay, God put twice as many powers, okay, within the female gender. Okay, which of course, many comedians, okay, emphasize, okay, or exploit the contrast, and it makes us laugh. Okay, when the contrast is exploited, okay, it makes us laugh. Because each gender, okay, is very familiar with the powers which they possess, okay, but yet, okay, yet the powers of the other, spouse, okay, remains rather elusive and mysterious. Okay, so you can see how the world, okay, exploits the comedy, okay, of this mystery. Okay, whereas we are not exploiting the comedy of it, okay, but our understanding shows how we can cooperate with this. We can cooperate with this through the stewardship and the priesthood. Okay, and we'll see this here. So God gave Adam Eve, and Eve also returned to Adam, okay, with power, okay, a crown, to be a crown of power with Adam. Okay, the Apostle Paul brings that out, because a woman has power in the head because of the angels. Okay, what's interesting is even science itself discovered that the female has, okay, more, okay, rods in the eye, has twice as many rods in the eye as the male, okay, and therefore, see, the blooming of the flowers take on a different or deeper hue than that which the male sees. Okay, so you can see how the female reciprocates to the flower, okay, greater than the male does. Okay, we see a lot of things in colors of gray. Okay, whereas the female sees them in colors and different hues. It's the same thing with the sensations, okay, of the groin. The sensations of the groin. The female has twice as many sensations as the male does. So that the powers which she possesses, the arousals and gratifications of that, can climax differently than that which is in the male. So you can see how God put that together. Okay, so you can see the powers, okay, within these things. Okay, and this is what science says, okay, in regarding that. So for no man ever yet hates his own flesh, okay, but nourishes and cherishes it even as the Lord the church. For we are members, here we go, for we are members of his body. Okay, that means we possess the DNA and the powers. The anointing is the DNA of God, who is a spirit. Now God is a spirit, okay, and we can see that the anointing is the DNA which is being grafted within us, to take on that very likeness, okay, as the sperm and the egg. You can see the sperm and the egg played out, okay, when we enter back into the Holy City, New Jerusalem, because the Holy City is that prototype. That's why I put the illustration here. The Holy City is the prototype of the gender, okay, and that's why God gave the female gender name to the city, calling her she or her. Okay, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For these are the powers, as bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But he's talking about also, these are the powers. Okay, the structure, okay, and the form. The structure and form. The bone is the power, okay, which gives the flesh its structure and form. Okay, for we're members of his flesh, the building and his the body. We're members of his body, the building and his flesh. Okay, the adornment of the robe. So we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The frame and foundation, the construction of the holy city, the prototype of this mystery. Okay, we see the prototype of this mystery is in the examples. If you want to make a note on this, the examples, the types, and the qualities put within a human spirit, soul, and body. Okay, put within the Adamite spirit, soul, and body. Let's jump over to Revelation chapter 12 here, and we'll see more about this crown. Okay, and what we're talking about, okay, this crown. So we're going to go to Revelation, as you see there in the sacrifice page, Revelation 19:12. Okay, we'll turn over there, and we got another one to look at before we close. Okay, Revelation 19:12, we're talking about the crowns. Okay, and here he brings this out. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Okay, and of course, we can go into expounding detail on this, but I'm going to bring something else out here. So I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, the horse. Okay, and he was called Faithful and True. Now, faithful has to do with consistency. True has to do with the original pattern. This person, our Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful and true. He is consistent to the Father, because he's the Father put into this other form. Okay, and he's true. He's the original pattern of all creation. Okay, and in righteousness, which means he's effecting a policy for change. He's effecting a policy for change that will meet his standard. Okay, he's given us this gospel. Okay, he's given us his gospel so that by this understanding, okay, we gain the sensitivity of his perception. Okay, so therefore it's faithful and true. And in righteousness now, okay, now because he's now judging, he does judge and make war, which means he corrects and aggressively, okay, and openly exposes this condition. So he corrects, he sets policy to correct, okay, and aggressively, okay, openly opposes any kind of contradiction. Okay, so he will correct and remove forcibly any contradiction that exists in this dimension. Well, first of all, the first contradiction is darkness. Second contradiction is the father of darkness, Satan. So he's going to be aggressive with that. He's going to bring light and darkness. He's going to bring righteousness and an unrighteousness. He's going to bring innocence to ignorance. And he's going to bring cleansing to corruption when we come back. Now, how is this going to happen here? Well, let's see. Let's look at verse 12 here. Why, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Okay, because his eyes here is a scale of faith. His scale of faith tries every token of the soul. His eyes are a flame of fire. He's examining this product. He says this product is in the rough. It's going to change. That's why he's going to make a new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, as Chief Elder Peter brings out. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Cite the word many crowns. On his head were many crowns. Okay, which means these are the powers to rule for his true oath. Okay, what are these powers? Well, we can see here. His record, now, highlight the word head, all right, and also word crowns here. Okay, because we'll be talking more about that in a moment here. His recorded name is written in these crowns. So his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. Okay, as we read on right here. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. So highlight the word name there. We got the word name, highlight the word name, crowns, and head. Names, crown, and head. The name is a mystery. No man knows the name, okay, which is written. Why? Because we are those crowns. So his recorded name is written in these crowns. That's us. That will oversee the expanding of his kingdom So husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Starting here as stewards during his millennial reign on the earth. Okay, our mystery, new names, bears a letter of his to show the correction and the connection of this divine work and inheritance. Okay, I'll say that again. Our mystery, new name. We get a new name, which is a mystery, right? Well, this is what he says right here. Okay, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Okay, and we carry that same new name, mystery name, secret name. Our mystery new name bears a letter of his to show the connection of this divine work and inheritance. And this we can see in, if you turn your Bible over there to chapter 2 of Revelation. We'll just read a verse here, chapter 2 of Revelation. We'll start verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That is the anointing that's speaking through the voice of the stewardship. To him that overcomes, that means he that accepts the reproof of change through the steward here, through the stewardship, to him that overcomes will I give thee eat of the hidden manna. That's one. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. See the Hollywood new name there. A new name, written, which no man knows, saving him that receive it. It's a mystery name. In the white stone, okay, which is the crown, okay, which is upon the head of Jesus. We're coming back in his representation. And we're coming back with his perspective. Okay, because our crowns on his head shows that we have been purified to enter the conscience of God. Okay, God entered our conscience and is seated upon the throne of our conscience. Okay, which is also, okay, the door of our soul. Okay, we also, as crowns of righteousness, receiving a new name, which is a letter of his name, the mystery name. Okay, our crowns, which also will be, okay, within the conscience of our Father. Okay, so that we be one. Remember, he's redeeming us to himself. Redeeming us to himself, okay, as these crowns. Okay, so a new name written. Now, the reason why it's a white stone, okay, it's because it's a new tribe. Okay, we see the 12 stones of the ephod in the vestment of the priesthood under Moses. But this is a white stone, which is outside, okay, of those, which is outside the stones, okay, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, or the stone of this new adoption, because both Jew and Gentile receive a white stone. Okay, it's a token of our virginity, a purity. This is for passage into his kingdom, okay, into the Father's bosom. Okay, now let's go back and finish up here in Ephesians. Okay, so we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So we'll pick up here. For on his head were many crowns. Okay, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and his mother, separation and part, to return in whole. Okay, so this parable reveals two kingdoms. Two kingdoms which are concealed in Christ. A separation, which is in our origin, okay, is first needed for a bonding to follow. One is needed before the other follows, which is the separation for the bonding. For this cause shall man leave his father and his mother, as we came out from the Father's bosom, which is the Holy City, New Jerusalem, and shall be joined to his wife, being the church. They two shall be one flesh. I like the word one flesh there, connected. Okay, they're connected to a similarity. Okay, connected to a similarity, as we are with Christ. We're connected to similarity. Well, what's that similarity? We're talking about charity. Okay, charity is the love child of his kingdom. Okay, it's the love child of his kingdom. It's the love child of our adoption. Okay, this is a great mystery, he says here in verse 32. Because God put many parables in the gender, which teaches us this bonding, which begins with separation. Okay, so this is a great mystery, but Paul brings it right back to the point. I'm speaking concerning Christ in the church. Okay, I'm pointing to the throne of our conscience. Okay, an example. Example is in the law. As those that serve the tabernacle, okay, the priests which serve the altar, they are partakers of the flesh of the altar, okay. By partaking of the flesh of the altar of that first covenant, they bond as one, as they eat of the ram, okay. And we also eat of the ram, which is Jesus Christ, the knowledge of our salvation. Okay, Jesus Christ is the meat of our consecration. And that's what Jesus said, unless you drink of me and eat of me, you have no life in you. so we're eating the meat of the lamb of our consecrations. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, verse 33, so love his wife. Okay, as the flesh is necessary, let all partake, okay, as that which is assigned of God. Nevertheless, let every one in you particular so love his wife, okay, in this power as her priest, okay, that is for his pleasure and equity, so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, he said, uses her powers in servitude, which we brought out earlier, okay, servitude and respecting of the oath. See that she reverence her husband. Okay, this is for their peace and harmony. Okay, if you see Christ in these things, all these things teach us, okay, teach us this mystery of attraction. Okay, the attraction, the courting, the marriage, the mating, the building, and understanding unfolding to us here, okay, more knowledge. So this is a perpetual course of his propitiation now, perpetual course of God to establish in us the eternal things. He's preparing us for these eternal things and things to come.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.